Hello, my name is Meg. Welcome. Today we're heading back to the Netherlands with our second artist, Pieter Bruegel, who was born somewhere between 1525 and 1530, and was born in or around the city of Breda. It is also speculated that his name could be linked to his hometown, as it is rumoured that they do share his surname. Not much can be found about Bruegel's home or family life growing up, and there seems to be no existing records, but one source suggests that the artist did not grow up wealthy. But this is only an assumption based on his known artwork and interest in poverty, from a man named Karel van Mander, who wrote Schilderboek, or Book of Painters. This is a book written about the painters at the time, and heavily features Bruegel. It is in fact where most historians have received all of their information from the artist. The theory surrounding Bruegel being poor, however, is only a suggestion and is often criticised, as it is said that he was too educated not to have originated from a higher class background. If the information about where he was born is correct, then we know it had a population of around 8,000 people, and despite most of its houses being destroyed by the fires that took place in 1534, it was the base of the reigning house within the Netherlands today. This is the House of Orange-Nassau, which was integral to the development of the Netherlands and its history. We also know that Bruegel was a member of the Antwerp Painters Guild in 1551, and that his superior within the group, Pieter Coeck van Alst, was also his father-in-law, having married his daughter in 1563. It is said that the art in the Netherlands at the time had strong influence from Italy, and despite Bruegel spending a portion of his adult life there, his art was more similar to the Gothic style of our previous artist, Hieronymus Bosch, whilst also showcasing an independent and new style of art. His journey included time in Rome, where he met fellow artist Giulio Clavio, who we know owned three of Bruegel's work at the time of his death. Unfortunately, this art no longer exists. These travels resulted in some of Bruegel's most beautiful landscape, most of which you can still find today, and these initial sketches inspired a lot of his other work. Alongside paintings, he was very well known for his printmaking and specialised in landscapes and peasant scenes. Apparently, the painter himself is rumoured to have sometimes dressed in peasant's clothing and attended social occasions as a form of research into his art. Towards the end of his life, he fathered two children, Pieter Bruegel the younger and Jan Bruegel the elder. Both men went on to be painters, despite their father dying in 1569 when they were both young, and Pieter having no direct influence over their artistic teaching. Upon his death, Bruegel ordered that a lot of his work be destroyed to avoid his family facing prosecution due to the political nature of his work, meaning we will never know what he believed to be some of his best work and what that could have actually looked like and what they could have entailed to create fear in an artist that he could be putting his loved ones in danger. The painting we are talking about today is The Fight Between Carnival and Lent, a painting that managed to survive past Bruegel's destruction of his other work. It is currently housed in a museum in Vienna, available to be viewed by the public. Upon first glance, this painting shows a scene full of everyday people, or peasants, going about their day in a square or opening within a town. On the right sits a church, and on the left is what appears to be an inn or an alehouse. The two buildings which frame this image are complete opposites, as the church was an important place which people would have relied on heavily, for not only religious reasons, but also to help feed and clothe the poor. It looks hidden away, and fails to stand out as the mighty building it would have been seen as in comparison to the houses and shops which surround it. I believe that the two buildings sitting opposite each other on this square show the two sides to people. One being their religious calling and need for God, and the other being the sinful truth of the lives a lot of people live, as the inn is a place of sin and wrongdoing. This juxtaposition must have been purposeful and highlights its title as the two sides were at war with each other, the fight between good and evil. This is also supported by the sides in which the buildings are situated, as the right side usually has positive connotations and the left has negative. Just like the two very different buildings, they are also surrounded by very different types of people. For example, outside the church are children, sitting pleasantly, who seem to be partaking in games such as whip and top. I like the portrayal of innocence in the people around the church, and how that gradually changes as you look across the panel to find the rebellious drunkards cramped to the left around the entrance to the inn. This painting is a response to the Protestant Reformation happening at the time, and was painted during its height. It saw the creation and implementation of Protestantism, a branch of Christianity which challenged the widely loved Catholic Church. There were a lot of issues raised about the Catholic Church's integrity, which raised support towards Protestantism and away from the idea of being able to purchase certain perks from the church, such as forgiveness and pardon. It paved a way for a more modern take on the church's involvement in a person's everyday activities, and almost helped disconnect people from it, as it encouraged belief in a more personal way. This change arguably took away some power from the church, as Protestants didn't believe in the practice of confession in a physical way. They instead believed that these actions should be between the individual and God, and therefore took away the need for priests and other holy men. This reform can be linked back to a man that you might be familiar with, Henry VIII of England. In the 1530s, when he wished to divorce his wife, Catherine of Aragon, and instead marry Anne Boleyn, he broke away from the Pope and the Catholic Church, and instead created his own branch of Christianity, in order to allow him to proceed with his wishes, go against the Pope, and get his divorce. He combined Catholicism and Protestantism, and this helped with its popularity in the West. Some people even fled to the Netherlands from England after Queen Elizabeth did not meet their expectations and requirements. They fled to live a true Protestant lifestyle, but found when they got there that their children were too integrated with Dutch culture, and many failed to stay. The two sides mentioned before are exact representations of Carnival on the left and Lent on the right. The definition of Carnival is that of a celebration or festival which typically happens the week before Lent. It usually involves music, dancing, and processions through the streets, as well as stalls and other outside activities. The undertaking of Lent, however, refers to the 40 days Jesus spent starving in the desert, in order to avoid the temptation of evil from the devil himself. For many Christians, this is the period in which they, like Jesus, resist the urge to partake in doing certain things or eating certain foods, and it arguably seems to be quite a glum celebration, especially following the celebration of the carnival. The seriousness of Lent contradicts the joyfulness which surrounds carnival, and that is what you see within this image. The two moments seem to clash together within the painting. I believe the overall question being asked here is, if the people pull away from the church with the Reformation, does this mean they lean more towards sin and wrongdoing? This would make sense, as we do know that Bruegel himself was Catholic and belonged to the Guild of St. Luke. This painting, however, isn't necessarily standing against the Reformation, as it is said to hold critiques of the Catholic Church itself. It could in fact be argued that it provides a more balanced argument for the cause. When looking into more specific details for the painting, a few figures do stand out. The first being the large man riding the beer barrel. He has a pie upon his head, which I believe acts like a crown, as he is the personification of the carnival itself. He is surrounded by more food, as meat hangs around his neck like jewels, as would a king, and his weapon appears to be a roasted pig, among other meats. He is the figurehead, leading the way for the people on that side of the painting. The right side also appears to have a leader, as the nun is seen charging at the fat man in a very similar fashion, as if jousting with each other, and creating an image to match the title of the painting. She also sports a makeshift crown, but hers is a beehive, which in the Bible and other medieval art is a common symbol which represents good order as well as religious vigilance. The nun's weapon is a long stick, like a board, topped with a small platter of fish. This also has biblical links, as Jesus Christ was said to feed the starving people with fish in the Bible. Both sides are leading their individual armies against each other in the conflict. All of the food that is dotted around them is linked to their holiday, so either carnival or Lent, as things like bread, fish, onion, mussels are all things consumed during that period, and the meats are typical of carnivals, as one would be required to give these things up when their fast started. The fight that is occurring would be similar to those actually performed at the time. Jousting was a sport rather than a technique or a battle tactic, and served as a form of entertainment. The participants would actually be knights, which leads me to suggest that the two figures partaking are exact representatives of the two events. It also makes me ask the question why they would choose to joust instead of just battle, as this has connotations of entertainment and fun. And that concludes part one of The Fight Between Carnival and Lent by Peter Bruegel. Please join me next time to hear the rest of the painting explained.